I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth. Unemployment stands at 8% in the United Kingdom, but this week insane Brits celebrated the birth of a tiny parasite who, along with all the other Windsors, will suck on the nation's lifeblood for the rest of the century. Our Pepper Lewis interviewed Sir Bartholomew Kidney Fitzpudding, a royal equerry of Her Majesty the Queen, or, in American, a Buckingham Palace flack. He explained the significance of the royal birth.
Sir Bartholomew, may I call you Bart?
No. Please don't misunderstand. Her Majesty encourages royal equerries to be friendly to commoners like yourself. But in British, Bart is short for baronet. I am a mere knight, not a baronet. Yet.
These distinctions are important to Brits, I mean the British?
Immensely. The great significance of the royal birth is that now, along with his grandfather Charles and his father William, Britain is guaranteed to have kings for the rest of this century.
That's a good thing?
Absolutely marvellous. The British are terribly excited at the idea of having a king again. And not just one king, but three kings.
Wasn't that a movie with George Clooney?
I have no idea.
So the economy's in double-dip recession. Incomes are at their lowest level since the Great Depression, but people are thrilled at having to shell out billions of pounds to be ruled by kings for the foreseeable future?
Absolutely. Without kings, where would our wonderful class system be? How would people know their class? You can't have class without a class system.
I wouldn't know. We don't have one.
Which is why Americans have no class.
Oh, snap! Okay, so what's in his future for the royal toddler?
Well, the popular view of his grandfather, Prince Charles, is that he's something of a doofus, is the word?
That is a word, yes.
These characteristics tend to jump a generation, so I think we can expect Prince X to resemble the current Prince of Wales and provide us with rather more entertainment than his father has.
Great, so he'll also have a mistress who looks like a horse and tell her he wants to be her tampon?
Yes, or whatever you ladies are employing for that purpose by 2050.
Speaking of Prince X, who gets to name new princes?
The parents have a say, naturally, but they're guided by Her Majesty.
Why am I not surprised she calls the shots?
Her Majesty's favorite prerogative, however, is mandating a new royal child's official nickname.
Ooh, do we know what that will be?
Either Cuddly Wuddlyums or Susan, after her beloved corgis.
Will the new prince take after his dad at all?
Oh, I'm sure he'll be gainfully employed as well.
Prince Willie has a job?
Indeed. Currently, he's on paid paternity leave at £136.78 a week. He does something or other in the Royal Air Force.
Can you be more specific about his work?
No, that's his exact job description. Doing something or other in the Air Force.
So, the happy dad, though he's conservatively worth $40 million and gets everything, luxury accommodation, living expenses, travel, health care, absolutely free, and, as monarch, will inherit billions of pounds in real estate, still can't resist taking an extra £136.78 off the hard-pressed British people? Nice guys, these Windsors.
The Windsors have been superb stewards of the British monarchy and its immemorial traditions.
Going all the way back to feudalism.
Feudalism had its points.
But aren't the Windsors pretty new on the British scene? Originally came from Germany in the 19th century, no?
Victoria was the legitimate heir to the throne.
And it was during the First World War against Germany that they had to change their name to Windsor?
That is correct. Full marks.
So, what was the family's original German name?
We don't usually go into that.
Oh, come on, Sir Kidney Fitzpudding.
Hitler.
Thanks, Bart.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is sponsored by the Non-Rational Rifle Association.
Wayne LaPierre is a murderer. That's what the media screech. Now they're even screeching that Wayne LaPierre is the man who's really responsible for Trayvon Martin's tragic death. Can you believe these people? We say our beloved executive VP is a legendary American. We say, the 600,000 tragic gun deaths which have occurred on his watch are actually the greatest gift he could have given our great nation. Wayne says,
"The world is a tough place, and America is a tough country. A country whose constitution enshrines forever the inalienable right of every citizen to stand his ground and kill if he feels threatened. A country of tough, tough winners. People too stupid to carry guns to defend themselves or too weak to stand their ground if they do are, it's tough to say, but a tough country can take it, losers. Their tragic deaths prove that their lives had nothing to contribute to our great nation. Trayvon Martin was just another loser. He's where he belongs, 6 feet under, with all the other losers."
Remember, guns don't kill people. God kills people. Guns are God's way of eliminating the weak. Every gun death in America makes us stronger. Be glad, not sad, America, that somewhere in this great nation right now, another loser is eating lead.
The Non-Rational Rifle Association. We are America's lizard brain.
A family of four is dead after Senator Mitch McConnell filibustered the ambulance crew that tried to save their lives. Our Philip DeCup is in Glen Allen, Virginia, with that story.
The Rankin family of Spotsylvania were driving north on I-95 just north of Virginia Center Parkway when they were struck head-on by a fuel truck. EMTs rushed to the scene but were met by the Senate Minority Leader, who initiated debate and blocked cloture. We have a recording of some of the filibuster.
The Antarctic ice sheet is much bigger than the Greenland ice sheet. It's divided into two. The West Antarctic ice sheet, which contains about 3 meters or about 10 feet of sea level equivalent that could contribute to sea level rise relatively rapidly. The East Antarctic ice sheet is bigger and relatively more stable. The same pressures occurring in some regions of the Greenland ice sheet are also occurring in the West Antarctic ice sheet. A critical point to recognize is that the ice is so thick for some of the West Antarctic ice sheet that it's resting on land.
The first responders eventually found it prudent to move on to more fruitful business at other, less brutal accident sites. All four members of the Rankin family, 39-year-old Michael Rankin, his wife Tabitha, age 37, their 8-year-old daughter Rhonda, and 6-year-old son Theodore, died from slow and preventable blood loss. Afterwards, McConnell had this to say to reporters.
Well, I think this is a big win. We have denied the president any credit for rescuing this family.
Senator McConnell is headed to Baltimore later this week, where he is expected to filibuster the adoption of a special needs child.
Tonight on Extreme Anthropology, a primitive tribe that still performs the savage ritual of human sacrifice. This primitive culture occupies a surprisingly large chunk of the Western Hemisphere and is known as America. Professor Loudon Partridge of Cambridge University describes their bizarre practices.
A few tribal elders will choose an ordinary person with limited coping skills and put them on a reality television show, which then suddenly makes them very, very famous. Then the villagers come out to watch this person disintegrate.
Does the audience know it'll end tragically?
Of course! They've already seen this thing happen repeatedly. For example, Anna Nicole Smith. And after she died, the elders gave a similar show to a small child named Honey Boo Boo, a little girl with no idea what's really going on. We all know how this'll turn out.
We confirm this by talking to one of the tribesmen.
So you've participated in the ritual stonings?
I'm on Twitter, yeah.
And what do you like about it?
Oh, mostly how easy it is just to crush somebody with a couple of tweets. There's nothing more relaxing at the end of a hard day than turning on the real world and seeing a young woman who's just about 14 pounds overweight.
We tried to sneak our cameras into one of these sacrificial ceremonies, but the studio chieftains mistook us for one of their own production crews and made us tape a segment about a woman who eats cleaning products. On the way out, however, we did manage to record a person who was about to be sacrificed.
I like to party and have a good time and party and go out and have a... Where's my bra? Where is everybody? Sandy! Where's my bra? I'm gonna be famous!
Next week on Extreme Anthropology, a remote tribe that still practices incest, we visit the British royal family.
The Final Edition Radio Hour joins Philip de Cup at Kensington Palace for an exclusive interview.
The royal baby has already caused a stir throughout the world, usually reserved for a new Oasis CD or a humorous Russell Brand meme. Known only as the Duke of Cambridge, the infant Brit is only hours old and yet miraculously has developed the power of speech. Doctors don't understand it, but they expect it will fade at any moment. So, while he can still speak, I will interview him. Hello, Duke, your royal babiness, I'm not sure what to call you.
Fucking hell. Call me what you want, mate.
There's a lot of attention on you right now. Do you miss your privacy?
You mean what I had in me mum's twat?
Well, I was going to say in the womb.
Womb, schmoom. Words mean fuck all to me, mate. I just got here.
Are you aware that you're third in line to the throne?
Does that mean I have two blokes in front of me to use the loo?
No. It means the line of succession. One day you'll be King of England.
Is that like the Kings of Leon?
Not really. Have you met your grandfather, Charles?
Ah, that twat. What's up with them ears? Did his mum fuck a rabbit?
Forgive me, but you seem rather crude for a member of the royal family.
Me mum gets photographed with her tits out, and I'm the crude one.
It's just that your parents are so polite.
Bloody boring they are.
Should you be insulting them after they just gave you life?
Hey, this fucking commoner's criticizing me.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm just fucking with you. Ooh, bloody wanker.
I suppose you're too young to understand all that's going on around you.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I'm the latest drain on the British economy, I am.
You understand the British economy?
Yeah, better than that cunt Prime Minister. What's his name, Churchill?
Cameron.
What is he, a girl?
President Obama sent his best wishes to your parents. Does this mean anything to you?
Is he the cunt that orders the drone strikes?
How do you know about the drones?
As a brand new baby, I know two things. Pooping and your president's drones.
Speaking of the U.S., do you have any thoughts on Britain's relationship to the NSA?
Every breath you take, every move you make, every smile you fake, they'll be watching you.
I see you're familiar with Sting.
That's what you call that old bald wanker?
Baby, can you shed some light on the changing role of the monarchy?
I'm just a bloody infant, mate. As the monarchy is constitutional, the monarch is limited to non-partisan functions such as appointing the Prime Minister.
You're losing your power of speech.
Fucking hell, I'll tell you this about the monarchy.
Well, that's it. He can't speak anymore. This is Philip the Cup for the final edition. Can we get him some milk?
Fuck milk. What about a pint of Guinness, mate?
And now, from the 2013 edition of Mark Twain's classic Tom Sawyer, the Final Edition Radio Hour presents Chapter 2, Tom Sawyer UGCing the Web.
Saturday morning was come, and all the summer world was bright and fresh and brimming with life. Tom appeared on the internet with a bucket of ideas and a Bluetooth keyboard. He surveyed the website, and all gladness left him, and a deep melancholy settled down upon his spirit. Three columns of emptiness, infinite scrolls high. All in need of content, content to drive traffic, to get ad clicks, to sell t-shirts. Life to him seemed hollow and existence but a burden. Sighing, he dipped his finger to the keyboard and passed it along the topmost row of letters. Repeated the operation, did it again. Compare the insignificant gibberish with the far-reaching continent of unpixelated blog entries, and sat down on a tree box, discouraged. Then Jim came skipping out of the gate with a tin pail, and Tom said,
"Say, Jim, I'll fetch the water if you'll blog some."
"Mm-mm. Can't, Mars Tom. Old Ms. Huffpo, she told me I got to go and get this water and not stop fooling around with anybody. She says she expect Mars Tom going to ask me to blog or tweet or send a pic or a video, and so she told me, go along and tend to my own business. She allowed she'd tend to the blogging."
"Oh, never mind what she said, Jim. That's the way she always talks. She won't ever know."
"Oh, I dassent, Mars Tom. Oh, missus, she'd taken Todd the head off of me. Deed she would."
"She? She never licks anybody. Wax him over the head with a shoe at most. She talks awful, awful, but talk don't hurt. Anyways, Jim, I'll give you exposure. I'll give you a byline."
Jim began to waver.
"Byline, Jim? And it's a bullet, huh?"
"My, that's a mighty gay marvel, I tell you. But Mars Tom, I's powerful afraid, old missus."
"And besides, if you will, I'll show you my side boob."
Jim was only human. This attraction was too much for him. He put down his pail, took the keyboard, and bent over the screen with absorbing interest while the side boob was buffering. But in another moment, he was flying down the street with his pail and a tingling rear, the victim of a HuffPo hoof. Tom was blogging with vigor, and Aunt HuffPo was retiring from the field with a slipper in her hand and triumph in her eye. But Tom's energy did not last. He began to think of the fun he had planned for this day, and his sorrows multiplied. He got out his worldly wealth and examined it. Bits of toys, marbles, trash. Enough to buy an exchange of work, maybe, but not half enough to buy so much as half an hour of pure freedom. At this dark and hopeless moment, an inspiration burst upon him. Nothing less than a great, magnificent inspiration. He took up his mouse and went tranquilly to work. Ben Rogers hove in sight presently. Ben's gait was the hop, skip, and jump. Proof enough that his heart was light and his anticipations high. He was eating an apple and giving a long, melodious whoop at intervals, followed by a deep-toned ding-dong, dong, ding-dong, dong, for he was personating a steamboat, the Big Missouri.
"Stopper, sir. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling. Ship up to back. Ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling. Set her back on the starboard. Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. Chow, chow, chow."
Tom went on whitewashing. Paid no attention to the steamboat. Ben stared a moment and then said,
"Ha, you're up a stump, ain't you?"
No answer. Tom surveyed his last touch with the eye of an artist. Then he gave his screen another gentle sweep and surveyed the result as before. Ben ranged up alongside of him. Tom's mouth watered for the apple, but he stuck to his work. Ben said,
"Hello, old chap. You've got work, eh?"
"Huh? Oh, why, it's you, Ben. I weren't noticing."
"Say, I'm going in a swimming. I am. Don't you wish you could? But of course you'd draw the work, wouldn't you? Course you would."
Tom contemplated the boy a bit and said,
"What do you call work?"
"Why, ain't that work?"
Tom resumed his blogging and answered carelessly,
"Well, maybe it is, maybe it ain't. All I know is it suits Tom Sawyer."
"Oh, come now. You don't mean to let on you like it."
The mouse continued to move.
"Like it? Well, I don't see why I oughtn't to like it. Does a boy get a chance to complete a website every day?"
That put the thing in a new light. Ben stopped nibbling his apple. Tom swept his cursor daintily back and forth, stepped back to note the effect, added a touch here and there, criticized the effect again. Ben watching every move and getting more and more interested. More and more absorbed.
"Say, Tom, let me blog a little."
No, I reckon it wouldn't hardly do, Ben. You see, Aunt HuffPo's awful particular about this website. Right here on the internet, you know. But if it was the back pages, I wouldn't mind, and she wouldn't. Yeah, she's awful particular about this site. It's got to be done very careful. I reckon there ain't one boy in 1,000, maybe 2,000, that can do it the way it's got to be done.
No, Is that so? Oh, come now. Let me just try. Only a little. I'd let you if you was me, Tom.
Ben, I'd like to, honest Injun, but Aunt Huff, well, Jim wanted to do it, but she wouldn't let him. Sid wanted to do it, and she wouldn't let Sid. Now, don't you see how I'm fixed? If you was to tackle this website and anything was to happen to
it... Oh, shucks. I'll be just as careful. Now, let me try. Say, I'll give you the core of my apple.
Well, here. No, Ben, now don't. I'm afraid...
Oh, I'll give you all of it!
Tom gave up the keyboard with reluctance in his face, but alacrity in his heart. And while the late steamer Big Missouri worked and sweated in the sun, the retired artist sat on a barrel in the shade, dangled his legs, munched his apple, and planned the slaughter of more innocents. There was no lack of material. Boys happened along every little while. They came to jeer, but they remained to blog. And when the middle of the afternoon came, from being a poor, poverty-stricken boy in the morning, Tom was literally rolling in wealth. He had had a nice, good idle time all the while, and the website had 3 layers of free content. If he hadn't run out of bandwidth, he would have bankrupted every boy in the village. Tom said to himself that it was not such a hollow world after all. He had discovered a great law of the Internet without knowing it. Namely, that work consists of whatever a body is obliged to do, and that play consists of whatever a body is not obliged to do, and that user-generated content consists of whatever work a body might be fooled into doing for free. The boy mused a while over the substantial change which had taken place in the worldly circumstances, and then wended towards HuffPo HQ.
The Final Edition presents this new old rock classic from Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Hey, Jan. Hey, publisher. Tell them who we are. Well, we're old rock critics, humorless and acidic, and we won't admit we're done.
Yeah, that sounds like us.
We write about Bieber and Taylor Swift, but we don't get either one. We smoke all kind of drugs and give us all kind of buzz. But the best buzz that we've known is the buzz, oh mama, when you put a bomber on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Wanna see a bomber on the cover? Wanna see if he was failed by his mother?
Yeah!
Wanna see his sexy face on the cover of the Rolling Stone? Yeah. We write reviews that are really abstruse about the Stones and Kanye West. We created the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just so we could keep our kiss. What a long, strange trip. We're eternally hip, and our cred has never been blown. We interviewed Obama, now we got a bomber on the cover of the Rolling Stone. We're not a rock and roll gossip rag, but we got a cute bomber in our mag. Wonder how many more there'll be on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Yeah.
Terrorist Chic!
Ah, beautiful. A picture is worth 1,000 words, but a cover is worth much more. A terrorist looks much hotter on the rack in a grocery store. If tragedy creates celebrity, then the fault's not really our own. We wouldn't run Jeffrey Dahmer, but we'll put a bomber on the cover of the Rolling Stone. You might not care anyway. You're gonna sell 5 copies on eBay.
Yeah!
Will a future bomber say, I want the cover of the Rolling Stone? I want the cover of the Rolling Stone. Wanna see a bomber on the cover?
Wanna see if he was failed by his mother?
Yeah! Wanna see his glamour shot on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
She goes, I've got nothing to say but
this episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. And if you haven't met your fill of sizzling satire with teeth, visit thefinaledition.com for more, and be sure to check out The Vinyl Edition, the very first album from The Final Edition, available online now. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra, and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC, copyright 2013.